Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Philippians chapter 2, and there are two verses. I mean, there are so many topics we could have pulled out of chapter 2, and that's the problem with just taking 5 weekends on a particular book. You have to be selective on the topic. And that's one of the hardest things, is breaking it down and finding out exactly what God wants us to talk about. But there are two verses that have always intrigued me. Two verses that I wasn't somewhat confused over or bothered over, but I thought about them a lot. And they're found in verse 12 and verse 13. I want to read those two verses, and then we'll get into our message here. The verses read like this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen to what Paul says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, really, a first read of this, you would think Paul's saying two different things. First of all, he's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he jumps and he says, but it's God who works in you to do his will. So what is the believer's role in their journey, their spiritual growth? What is God's role? Is it me? Is it him? Is it trust or is it obedience? Is it more of my efforts or is it more of God working in me? That's the question I want to ask you. So I want to put this up on the screen. You're all going to participate in this. So if you get your cell phones ready, what you're going to do is text a response to all of us right now. Here's the question. Who's responsible for the change that takes place in your life? Who is it that's responsible for your spiritual growth, the process of making you more like Christ, if you will, taking more of the character and the attitude of Christ? So here's simply how you do it. An example, like if you were choosing number one, okay, God 100%, you okay, the key word is God 100, and then text to 22333, okay? If we were to choose the last one, you 100% God, you go text to GOD0 and then 22333, okay? Go ahead and do it right now. They're going to automatically come up. They're going to come up right now. We're going to see the percentages of them come up. So we have one response probably, because that's saying 100% is 100% God. Let's see what we come up with here. All right. We have 67% has dropped down to you 50%, God 50% is 24%. Jump to 39%, we'll probably see what some of the others change here. I'll see how alike we were to the service last night, okay? Who's responsible? When you think about your walk, when you think about your growth, when you think about the things that are changing in your life or need to be changing in your life, who's responsible for the change? You 50%, God 50% has taken the lead. 50-50, 38. Okay, anyone else gonna be plugging those in for a few moments? We get a picture of this, and I'm gonna give you the answer at the end of the message. All right, my very last statement will be the answer to this. But you see how it has changed. We have more tonight, this morning, that are saying 100% God than we did last night. The winner last night was 50%, 50%. All right? Okay, Let's look at the text again. Let's look at the text. Now, as I said, it seems like Paul's saying two different things. First of all, he's saying, work out your salvation. He adds the words with fear and trembling. And then he says, but it's God who's working in you to do his will. There's really two approaches. People take two approaches to their walk with God. The one I would call the passive approach. The passive approach in your walk with God is let God, let go and let God. In other words, it's like Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That would indicate that it's no longer me. It's Christ doing it all. The other approach to our walk is more of the active, or I call aggressive, approach. You're working on your spiritual life. The scripture I'd use for that would be 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, let us cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness. The very words speaking that we have that responsibility to cleanse ourselves. We have the responsibility perfecting holiness. Now, what I found as you look at both ends of this, the scriptures on both sides of it, there could be an overemphasis on both approaches. For the passive approach, where God does it all, here's the problem with that, is that when you sin, who do you blame it on? God. He's the one who's in control. The active or aggressive approach to the scriptures or to your walk would be, I've got to do it all. Now, here's the problem with that. If you've got to do it all, when you succeed, you bring glory to yourself. It's something you've done. And we know that's a problem. So the question still is, what is the believer's role and what is God's role in this whole thing? Just 2 points to this message, okay? 2 points to this message. I'll give you a lot of scripture, but 2 points to the message. The first point comes out of verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Christian working out their salvation. That's the first point. Work out your own salvation. Now, some people have a hard time with that because immediately there could be scriptures that will come to our minds. One of them is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But Paul says, work out your own salvation. It's grace through faith. So you don't work for your salvation. There is no salvation by works. We know that. But I want you to note something that's being said here and what's not being said here. What's not said is work for your salvation. Paul didn't say work for your salvation. He didn't say work at your salvation. He didn't say work up your salvation. He said work out. That's an important word. Because the word work out means to finish or bring something to fulfillment. It's bring it to its fullness or bring it to its completion. In other words, we could say that the salvation that is in you, Paul said, needs to be brought out all the way to its fullness. There needs to be a sustained effort and a diligent in working out what has already been planted within. God planted something within us. He planted salvation. When you receive Christ as your Savior, it's a gift. God's given you this gift by grace. So he's planted it inside of you. Paul's saying you need to bring it out now to the surface. The illustration I have is it comes from a little bit of my background in Pennsylvania. I come from an anthracite coal region. It's the only place in the country where hard coal is mined. So I grew up around coal mines. When we played in the mountains around, hills I should say, around Pottsville, Pennsylvania, there were all these coal mines. And we tried to explore some of these shut down coal mines sometimes, but they're not only coal mines, but they're what we call stripping holes. They would use tractors to strip away the dirt and they would mine coal that way. We were talking about how we used to, those stripping mines would fill in with water, and we'd go swimming cold, cold water in those stripping holes. But here's the illustration. I'm to mine out of my life what God has richly deposited. He's the owner, but I'm to produce the precious nuggets of a personal character from what God has planted in me in my salvation. To work out in a daily basis conduct of what God has put in me. Mine out what already is mine. A little play on words there. But I'm to mine out. I'm to bring it to the surface, if you will, what already is mine. And how am I to do this? I'm to commit to the process of my salvation. I bring it to the outside. I manifest it in my conduct and behavior. It's a commitment. Paul said you have to make a commitment to your salvation. You make a commitment. There's an effort to work it out. There's a responsibility that you take on as a believer, as a follower, and that responsibility is to bring out, bring to the surface, to present my faculties, if you will, to a pattern of righteousness that has been revealed to me through Christ, through obedience. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 again. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's a responsibility. And spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, take it seriously. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. Put off concerning your former conduct. Now, that put off, doesn't that sound like workout? That's an effort on your part. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, and put on the new man in true righteousness and holiness. We are called to a holy living on a daily basis. And we're to work out what is in us, is what Paul's saying. Bring those nuggets that are in us by salvation to the outside, that the end result may be that God is glorified. So there's something that was deposited in us when we received our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to how powerful Paul puts it in those verses 24 through 27. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race, Paul likens this journey that we have with Christ, and you could call it a growth journey. He called an opportunity to grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of God. Paul said, do you not know that those that run in a race all run? He said, run in such a way that you may obtain it or win. I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. What was Paul talking about? If it were 100% God, why would Paul even bother with disciplining his body? Why would he speak words that just heap a responsibility on the believer's part that, listen, you got to get ready for the race. If you're going to run in this race, then run to win. And if you're going to win, you're going to have to discipline your body. You're going to have to do certain things to bring to the surface those things that God has already deposited in you. How many are still with me? All right, let's go to verse 13 now. The second part of this, or second point. But Paul said, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Here's the second point, God working in. The Christian working out and God working in. God works in you. John chapter 15 talks about the branches and the vine, and he said that the branches, you can't have life unless you're attached to the vine. Matter of fact, he says this, he says, without me, you can do nothing. So without God working in you, we can't do anything without being attached. So he's at work in us. An amazing thing when you think about God creating us. He made us his own, and he assumes a responsibility of making us into what he wants us to be. How does he do that? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." When you receive Christ as your Savior, and Jesus comes into your heart and you're born again, there's a power that comes with that. The Spirit of God comes with that. And that power that comes begins to work inside of you. The text says, God who works in you, not working on you, not working for you, but working in you. In Acts chapter 1, very familiar to us, a verse in verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses." The power, this, it means dunamis power, energy. We get energy from it. There's an energy that comes. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, there's a power and energy that dwells inside of us. That power begins to work inside of us. God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now get this. God then is working in you to cause you to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, again, he wants us to will what is right. He wants us to want what is right. He wants us to desire what is right. So guess what? What's God doing? God's working on our wants. He's working on our will. He's working on our desires. Psalm 110 and verse 3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." In the day when God pours out his Spirit, they're going to be willing. Why? Because it's God's power that works in you to do his will. Now, I can remember very vividly my first months and years and my relationship with Christ. Something happened. I mean, I was this drifter, drifting away from God, far from God. The desires that were in my heart were not godly desires. The wants that were in my heart were not godly wants. My will was not to fulfill God's purposes. I had my own selfish will. So what happened? What transformed me? Well, it was Christ coming in me. It was that power that came in me. And when that power invaded my heart and the depth of my being, what did it do immediately? It changed my desires. It changed my wants. It changed my wills. It wasn't George woke up and said, "Okay, listen, I'm deciding today to have new desires." It doesn't happen that way. I'm deciding today to have new wants, or I'm just going to, well, this is what I was thinking was the will for now. This I'm changing. It doesn't happen in and of your own strength. It's the power of God that comes in. So God is working in us to do this. That's what Paul's saying in verse 13. When his power moves in us, it makes us willing. Our behavior, think about that. Our conduct and behavior comes out of what? Comes out of our will, comes out of our desires, it comes out of our longings, and comes out of our wants. If we allow God to change our desires and wants and longings and will, then our behavior will reflect the change that has taken place in our heart. Still with me? This is not unusual. In the Old Testament, God stirred up the hearts of individuals to do his will. He even stirred up the hearts of heathen leaders, kings. He can do that. But he stirred up two that come to my mind are Ezra and Nehemiah. There was a time when the Bible says that Ezra's heart was stirred to move from his place of captivity in Babylon to go rebuild the temple. Nehemiah's heart was stirred to go back and rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates. So what did he do? Once his heart was stirred up and this became evident in his heart. This was a desire. This was a want that was alive in his heart. Then his behavior followed those wants and those desires. He made a commitment. He took a responsibility to go do it. This is the same with the believer's walk. When you allow God by his Spirit to change your desires and wants and longings, I mean, then the rest of it just happens. You mind that out, and your behavior reflects the change in your wants. Someone turn to someone and say, I think I'm starting to get this. God works in you, on your will, to produce the inclination or the will to do what he desires. He begins his internal work, working on your desire. What you do and what I do is a product of what we desire then. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Now, how does he stir the heart? Let me kind of answer that with two things. How does he stir the heart? If that's the key, which I believe it is, the key is God stirring the heart. Here's how God stirs the heart. Two things he produces. Number one, a holy discontent. I found in my walk, there, and I mentioned this before to you, there, God stirs my heart, but there's like what's created in me is a holy discontent. I put the word holy on it. It's not a discontent of where you're at in a circumstance or situation, but it's more of a righteous discontent. Paul, he wasn't happy where he was. Romans chapter 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. So it's not a discontent with circumstance or condition, but it's a discontent with sin in your life. It's a discontent with an attitude. In other words, you've come to the place where you're sick and tired of the same sin over and over again. You're sick and tired of fighting the same battle over and over again. You see, God wants us to hate sin. The second thing he does along with this, once the holy discontent comes, then there's a, he produces a longing for something better. So a longing is produced for something that's pure, a longing for something that is holier, a longing for something that is true and righteous and godly. That longing is stirred up in your heart. A longing to live a victorious life. A longing to be free from all the hang-ups and the habits that hold us back and bind us up and bring darkness in our life. A longing just to be free and live what the Bible reflects to us as a life that is given to us through our salvation. You read and you hear of people who have done these things in the Bible and you say, man, if I could just be like them. You hear a biography of someone that's on the mission field or someone is doing great things for God, and you say, man, if I could just do that, that longing is there. I think while he's working in our wants and our desires, he's also producing a hatred for sin and more of a love for righteousness. Another thing is very obvious to me is that why is it that the moment salvation takes place, it's like a light that goes on and you know the difference between good and evil. Whereas before, the things you were doing, you didn't see them as really evil, but now you see them as evil. That's God working in you to show you that that's evil and it's not good. It's the righteousness of Christ. We take on the righteousness of Christ. So part of the salvation package is the righteousness of Christ. And all we want to do is bring to the surface the righteousness of Christ and reflect it in our behavior and conduct. Doing the right things. He's working in you both to will and to do. I put it in a paragraph here. Start with a holy discontent that leads to a holy longing, that leads to a holy resolve or commitment, which means I now do what is right, that leads to a holy walk. It's a process. that God's working in us. You know, in any relationship, I think the most wonderful thing about any relationship is that you would bring the other person pleasure. In this relationship we have with Christ, in the relationship I have with my Lord, I don't know if there's a day that goes by, there probably is, but that I don't have a thought to say, God, how can I bring pleasure to you today? There's nothing wrong with that. Live on the outside what God has done on the inside. That's how simple it is. Now here's the answer. It takes all of us and all of Him. Why would Jesus say, what is the first and the greatest commandment? You love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind. You just love God. 100%. Now, I don't know how my 100% could ever equal God's 100%. But God's given His all. We're to give our all. 100% commitment. And here's what I'd like to do as we kind of close. I'd like, close your eyes, if you will. I'm going to ask you a series of questions that maybe will prompt a commitment or a desire. Listen carefully to these questions. You see, God is at work in you right now, if you're a Christian. Question is, what is He working to cause you to will and to do? What does He want you to will? What does He want you to do? What habit does He want you to change? What relationship does He want you to make right? What relationship does He want you to break? What relationship does He want you to make? How about attitude? What attitude does He want you to change? What desire does He want you to ignore? And then what desire does He want you to have? What ministry does He want you to do? What spiritual duty does He desire that you will? What area does He want you to be faithful in? What wrong does He want you to make right? He's working in you to cause you to will and to work what will please Him. Do you know what it is that He wants you to will and to work? Would you stand, please? I want us to sing this one song that we sang earlier on. And think about those questions. And more importantly, let's think about how and what would your response be to those questions as we sing this.
Spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.